Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
For any Yankee fans looking for a podcast to listen to, I suggest you check out NYY Sports Talk.
Are you listening?
Tune into the fellas.
Damn. Yeah.
There's no BS, there's no drama. You just feel like you with the fellas talking baseball.
Welcome back. This is episode 252 of the NYYST podcast. I'm your host, Christian. As always, joined by my co-host, Chris.
You.
And SGR.
What are...
It's been a while since we've all
been together. It's been a while.
At the start of the show.
At the start of the show. Yeah, that's true.
That's true. And we really don't have a lot of time tonight, so we'll just dive right into patreon.com/NYYST. Go there, support the fellas. $5 a month gets you exclusive bonus content and 40% off all merch.
Hey,
the last
listen,
show.
Listen. It's only $5 a month. However, we got a new patron. The OG. Patrick, from what is it, across the pond?
See.
Okay, $30 a month. 30, because he's the OG. So guess what? You don't have to stop at five, people. You don't have to stop at five. You want to match the OG? Forget it. I'll tell you what. If we get two patrons to match the OG at 30 a month, I'll give away a free T-shirt to every single patron we have.
Wow.
If we, if we do what?
If we get two patrons after this episode, before we record next week, every patron that signs up.
Ooh, that's a good deal, dude.
Gets a free T-shirt. They got to match Patrick, though. They got to match the OG.
New ones or current ones?
I'll tell you what. They could even go $10 less, $20 a month, and they all get, every patron gets a free T-shirt.
You still didn't answer the question, new or current. If somebody ups their pledge, or do we have to get two?
No, you can up your pledge. You can up your pledge. It could be an up. It could be an up pledge.
Well, the last Patreon episode was supposed to be a celebratory one.
It was somber.
Derek Jeter getting into the Hall of Fame, but
number two.
It was in the midst of the Yankees garbage, and I couldn't really hide my emotions of their just straight up fucking garbage. So it kind of put a damper on the show, but. If you want to take a listen, patreon.com/NYYST. Also go to NYYSportsTalk.com. Click the shop tab. Two new El Capitan shirts are out. The final pieces of the Sterling Silhouette Series, a hoodie and a T-shirt in honor of the newest member of the Hall of Fame. And leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to this show.
Can we do a midweek episode in the next couple of weeks where we send out the Zoom link to all our patrons if they want to join the show?
Oh, that's a good idea, dude.
We should really be like your mom's OnlyFans account.
Yeah, sure.
Christian,
my mom's or his.
Now, do you mean who's
she's
mom?
Here? She's in my house right now. I can't talk.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
mom,
mommy.
That's why Roro was your favorite player on the Yankees.
That's true.
All right.
Okay. Now you're doxing my mom. All right.
All right. Let's move on. Okay.
You said my mother's nickname on the show. Okay.
Right. Do you have a mad dog down, Ry?
It's like it's hit or miss. If I listen to him enough, I'd be able to get it, Dad. Listen to it. It's all we're on it with my kind of mad dog. Yeah.
You can get it.
Yeah. I don't.
He's such an easy impression for you. You're so good at
impressions. Isn't Mad Dog 2020 like a beer or something? Some people drink, they get fucked up off of.
Some impressions, though, it just depends on the tone of the voice.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like Walter.
Buck Showalter's pretty easy to do. I kind of like doing his a little bit of flamboyancy with that, where you kind of add a little bit of a lisp in there.
It's know? Funny it's because little... the best impressionists, impersonators,
impressionists, work,
when they change their voice, it actually every single impersonation sounds a bit like their right. own voice.
They're like so, yes.
Like, you ain't got no right. hot sauce, no mild sauce. Okay.
It's more about learning the person that you're impersonating's cadence of how they speak and mm-hmm. their
like
and
Christian the, is like a tweeted it.
And the words they use.
Wednesday. Yeah,
the words.
I don't really sound like that.
But, well, there's two different types of impersonators. There's the caricature, which is
all right, who's this? Ready? Hey, you know, we're playing how we're capable. We're playing what we're capable of.
Oh, wait, yeah. I know it because of the mouth.
I'm trying this one, but it's tough. No, there's no math. Don't, hey, you know, we're a good team.
Oh, I got it. Judge.
Yeah, it's Judge. I'm working on
that's it. That's good. You can get
we're
that.
We're a good team. We're a good team. We're
he's kind of got a little Obama in him.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to do. It's like a tamer Obama.
Yeah. You
know, we're playing. We know we're capable of.
That's pretty good.
Can we not right now?
Are you mad at Judge?
No, I actually am very happy with Aaron Judge right now. Earlier today, it's almost 8:45, maybe a little after on Monday night. The Yanks won their makeup game with the Twins after falling down 5-0. Aaron Judge hits a big home run in the eighth inning. Thank God. I mean, I didn't see any of the game. I listened to a lot of it on the radio when they started making their comeback because I was too. Just absolutely disgusted that they fell down 4-0.
5-0.
Well, it was 4-0 early.
Yeah, and then 5.
I mean, do you want to give?
Yes.
Want to give Luis Hill any credit?
I do because you want to know why? In? Absolutely, because the kid's not going to be perfect. And this was the first bit of like true adversity he faced in the big leagues.
He was pretty terrible.
He was terrible, but you know what? He's a young fucking kid. Too,
he was pretty terrible. Yeah,
7 walks through four.
But he came out unscathed. I mean, he gave up what?
He didn't. He gave up the run. I mean, the run scored.
Yeah, they were inherited. I get that. But what I'm saying is, in this moment, this was the first time he got knocked around early and really didn't have his stuff. And this fucking team didn't just need a win today. They needed some depth out of their starter. And this kid fucking settled down. We're talking about a kid who the Yankees probably would have kept in the minor leagues for another 5 years before they called him up. And he did a great job, man.
I mean, there's something's got to be said now about the way the Yankees are handling these pitches.
Oh, absolutely, dude.
Because Davey Garcia is a fucking train wreck.
Train wreck.
And
that's putting it nicely.
And since Heel stopped taking regular turns in rotation, he's been bad.
Didn't I tell you that was going to happen? Didn't I say it a couple episodes ago?
He ended up going 6 innings that day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
One batter.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, John Smoltz. Like, this is what pissed me off about the game on Saturday night.
Did you just call me John Smoltz? Like, that's the worst thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you just fucking, you know, like, they're throwing bouquets at Taiwan Walker's feet because he made it 6. You still gave up 5 runs. It's not a good start. Like, yeah. There's one thing I'm going to – what's the difference?
The difference is the Mets lost that night.
Well, not –
the Yankees didn't.
I mean, well, the Yankees tried to lose.
Yeah, they tried their best.
I will give both pitchers credit for settling in and giving their teams the opportunity to come back and not getting knocked out of a game early. You want to give them credit for that. But anytime that you give up 5 runs and when you exit the game, you're losing, I can't get wild about, oh, that's a great – like, John Smoltz is saying that's Taiwan Walker's best start of the year. Like, what do you want, drugs?
No, you have to really – I hate this word – compartmentalize.
Ooh.
His start today, because overall you can't say that's a great start by Heel, right? You can't say that, but when you take the certain context of what he did, right, the fact that it was the first
games
time
in 20 days,
right, he came out and got fucking knocked around, and it was a really important game for him to give at least 5-6 innings, and he could have fucking caved in the third, and that could have been it, and we could have seen fucking Andrew Heaney, which got to give Heaney a little credit over the last couple days. He really minimize damage where he could have really fucking imploded.
It's such a mind-boggling move, though, on Sunday night. Like, why
it
are you bringing in Heaney with the bases loaded? You're conceding a run at that point.
Because the Yankees are back to their blueprint bullshit, right? The Yankees are back to the fucking mock-up of how the game's going to go no matter what the situation is. And that's it.
I mean,
to an extent.
But here's the problem. I don't know if this is the sole reason why they're doing it. Jonathan Wiseman not being in that bullpen screws everything up. They don't have that weapon to deploy when they need to deploy it.
Since you brought him up, real quick, do we have any update on him?
I haven't heard anything since he's going to be shut
down. It sounds likely, though, if this team, now we're talking about if this fucking team, right? Last week or 2 weeks ago, we were saying at the very least they have to at least hold the top wild card. Now it's if they even make the playoffs again. It sounds like he'll be back.
Maybe the last week of the season.
Domingo Herman should be back in the next week or so. Severino.
Domingo Herman coming back is actually going to be huge for this team.
Yeah, I mean, they need weapons in that bullpen. And I mean, if you're going to, you want to give Andrew Heaney credit, I mean, he didn't blow up the game last night. He held it where it was today. So anytime that happens, I guess you got to give Andrew Heaney credit. But
like, he shouldn't even be on this team anymore.
He shouldn't be on the team anymore. And it's pure stubbornness, I would believe at this point.
Sorry, Christian.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say we should probably get an update on LaWisega because he was shut down to not throw for 10 days, and tomorrow will be the 10th day of that.
Is it really? It's been that long?
So we'll get an update on that tomorrow, I'm guessing.
But again, like, okay, you want to say bring up Adam Warren. Honestly, at this point, what does it matter? But he should have been gone long before we needed to rely on him. Like, while... And to me, these are one of these things where Brian Cashman just gets stubborn about shit. Like, oh, I traded for him at the trade deadline, and I gave up prospects for him.
Yeah.
So I can't, if I designated him, I look stupid.
I think
sometimes you got to look stupid.
I think it's 80% that. I also think it's 20% that Matt Blake does have confidence he can really tweak him enough to be somewhat.
But some guys are so bad. Like, you want to say that Matt Blake has worked with Clay Holmes and Clay Holmes is inching towards being a top level reliever. Yeah, I believe that. Even though Clay Holmes at times,
some people are just hopeless.
He hasn't been able to finish innings, which tonight or this afternoon was nice to see him finish the inning coming in the 10th and not allowing that runner to score. He's looked dominant. There's been times he's looked dominant. Yeah. For the first two batters, and then he just falls apart and allows a run.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing at this point, and I think most of us can agree.
But when is? I mean, you know, like we said before, you finish your point there. Like we said, Andrew Heaney gave us all we could have ever wanted out of him because he shut down the Red Sox in one game.
Right.
Stop trying to go down that well again.
Stop trying to find that gold again. Stop trying.
Andrew Heaney gave you a fucking great start against the Red Sox.
You found the lightning in a bottle. That was it. Okay. And it's like, at this point, I can't continue to lose games or have games get out of reach with Andrew Heaney on the mound. It's just inexcusable.
Yeah.
That's my point. Like, give me anyone else. Give me something else. Like you said, when you were, you know, defending the Yankees like you always do, Christian, when you said, like, when he brought in Sal Romano the other night, like, you don't blame him fully because it's like, who the fuck else is there to rely on? That's my kind of how I feel with Heaney right now. Like, give me someone else because I know what I'm getting out of Heaney at this point.
Did they both pitch in that same game right there? I believe they both pitched in that same game.
Which you know how, like, people say two things shouldn't be in the same sentence, like, ever? Like, Sal Romano and Andrew Heaney should never be pitching in the same game when the team is on the brink of losing a fucking wild card spot.
The only reason why I didn't have a major issue with Sal Romano is that who are supposed to be our top three relievers in this bullpen right now?
Yeah, Chapman, Green, and Holmes.
And the night before, after Gardy gets the game tied 3-3, what happens? Holmes, Green, and Chapman come in the game and all allow a run. This team's bullpen is so bad that it's not that I want Sal Romano pitching in a fucking seventh inning of a tie game. It's just that what are my options? So if Aaron Boone's going to try to just throw shit on the fucking wall and see if it sticks for a night, I mean, honestly, what are you going to argue? Chad Green should have been in the game? Because what did Chad Green do yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I see a lot of people on Twitter saying, you know, the bullpen, it's because they're overworked and so on and so forth. But really, let's break that down for a minute. Is Chapman shitting the bed because he's overworked?
He hasn't pitched enough, in my opinion.
Right, exactly. No. Okay, so that's number one, right? So we're talking about the three guys. Has Clay Holmes been overworked?
I would say probably not. No.
Okay. And Chad Green
he's pitched 17 and two-thirds innings.
Okay. And Chad Green, has this been a season-long thing, or has it just been recently because he's overworked?
Well, I gave you two damn, like, really bad stats on him earlier today. Since the beginning of the COVID season, 2020, he has the second most home runs allowed. Okay. Second most. And the second most losses by a relief pitcher.
So let's like it's easy to just sit down and say they're overworked because when you don't really break it down, it's like, yeah, I mean, they probably have been. But
is Chad Green washed?
Yeah. Yeah. And we got to get to that too. But yeah, no, he is. And I'll tell you what, when you really break things down, because sometimes it's easy to just be lazy and say, yeah, they're overworked. But when you break it down, realistically, those three guys are not overworked. They've just really been bad.
No, you know who's been overworked? Wandy Peralta.
Wandy Peralta.
How about Lickie? How about Lickie?
Lickie's been overworked too. He has been. Yeah. Boone's tried to stay away from him a lot recently.
And guess what? And guess what? Who do you trust more right now? Overworked Peralta or Chad Green?
I mean, Wandy Peralta.
He's had his flaws, and they're becoming more common now. They're becoming more common now, but still, I mean, who do you trust more right now? I trust Wandy more.
I don't trust Chad Green showing up to your son's T-ball game and trying to get him out, okay?
I agree.
And don't tell me I overreacted last night when he gives up that fucking home run to Lindor in the eighth inning.
You saw it coming.
Yeah, I saw it fucking coming because he's Chad Green. He's fucking Chad Green.
Yeah.
And don't tell me I overreacted when I tweet after he gives it the home run. That should be the last pitch he throws as a Yankee. You want to say I'm the Yankee apologist. It takes me a long time to get to the point where I'm done with fucking guys. I'm done with Chad Green.
No, I don't think you're an apologist for the players.
I can't fucking watch him anymore. Try to come in and get big outs for this team.
Well, here's the thing, right? It's like... Fucking lost my train of thought. Oh, this has been the worst part of this past like couple weeks of this fucking downward spiral. Yeah, the offense has been dead a lot of nights, but there's also been a lot of nights where they fucking come back in the seventh and like they miraculously tie the game and you're like, this is it. They got the spark. Like look at last night, for example, with the whole, you know, with Lindor starting it and then fucking Stanton pulls that shit, which was amazing. And they fucking lose that game. No, you can't be losing those games, man.
Think about the Toronto series. They get swept, right? The Toronto kicked their ass, but those middle games are not – the Yankees should have been able to find a way, and I believe it was the second game of the series, Guardy hits a three-run home run, and then it was boom, 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 all your top three guys all out run, you lose. And then it was in the next game, that was a Sal Romano game. You know, Rizzo hits the home run in the sixth, I think it was, and then they have nobody to go to in the fucking bullpen.
Yeah.
Why are you done? Like, I don't understand. Like, yeah, Toronto's got solid starting pitching. Their starting pitching is pretty good, right? But you're home. You're the Yankees. Like, why are you getting shut down?
Well, they don't have Marcus Stroman anymore, so it's not that good. And they're killing the Rays right now.
Are they?
7-0.
Fuck the Rays. Like I could have called that too, that the Rays were going
to
just
I texted it to you.
Yep.
I texted it to you the other day. I said, I bet you the Blue Jays beat them 4 out of 6 games. They played them 6 out of the next 9. I guarantee you they win 4. But here's the thing, right? Say you're with a girl, right? And she just fucking breaks your fucking heart, moves on. You never talk to her again. And that's it, right? Is that easier than if she were to drag you along? Keep pulling you back in, break your heart again, bring you back in, break your heart again. What do you think you come out stronger with? The just clean break or the fucking hope that things are going to work out and then they keep fucking failing?
The perpetual hope is worse.
So that's what the Yankees are doing to themselves right now. The offense is hit, no, but it's to themselves also Stanton comes out, right, in the seventh inning or the eighth inning and hits that fucking home run last night. And it's like the heart of the team is back and it's fucking pumping. And then the next, very next inning, it's fucking ripped out of their chest again. And that can't, a team cannot sustain that.
Dude, it's happened like six times over the last
year. But it seems that they can sustain it because they always have, they seem to always come back from this. Dude, after what happened last night and they fall down 4-0 in the first inning, you think they're winning this game?
No way. Oh, only no, listen. Not today. The only hope I held on to was that it was the Twins at Yankee City.
It was early I had no hope
because I was busy this afternoon. And when you said what texted whatever you said that triggered me to go look at the score and I saw it. I said, "There's no reason to ever open this fucking app again for the rest of the day."
Well, that's why I give Heal a lot of credit because he could have just fucking laid down and died and. And when he was going into the fifth and the sixth inning, I said to myself, man, you know, you can't say this kid had a good start, but you got to hope that, like, it's not, you know, difficult to ask for this offense to score fucking five runs against a team that had to go to their bullpen in the second inning.
Well, that's what I said to you when they're down 5-0. Like, why can't this team win a slugfest? Why the Twins lost their pitcher in the fucking second batter of the game?
That was the first inning. Yeah, I mean,
what happened there? He got hurt.
Yeah, an
abdominal strain.
Okay.
Like, come on now. Like, first of all, the guy's had a solid year, but he's not somebody I'd be afraid of at Yankee Stadium. He leaves the game. The Twins got to go to a bullpen game, and they don't. And you want to know something? When I heard this on the radio, I said, what the fuck is he doing down 5-0 scoring, stealing a base here? But Tyler Wade.
I was thinking the same thing.
Tyler Wade built that run, and if they don't score that run, they lose today. So credit to Tyler Wade for stealing.
It's actually almost two runs. Fucking DJ got robbed of a home run there.
So then Higgy got him over and DJ got him in. That getting that first run on the board was big. So you got to give Tyler Wade a lot of credit there. So
plus he's cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
super cute.
We got to try to put a lot of things.
We are going to start banging.
Okay. Really put a lot of things into a compact amount of time.
Where'd
here,
that go, bro?
That's old, bro.
That's fucking great.
Yeah, this is when they scored like three runs in 14 games, and Boone's like, "Let's start banging." So, let's cover Sunday first, okay?
Okay.
All right.
You know, first of all, to any Met fan out there that is trying to come up with a Astros like conspiracy, and that the Yankees are whistling and. You know, they're illegally stealing signs. You're a fucking idiot because if you, outside of this weekend, have watched the Yankees at all, they're the fucking worst.
Yeah. Like, if they're stealing signs, that's...
They're doing it wrong.
I feel even worse about this team. If they know what pitch is signs,
they should stop.
Yeah.
If the Yankees are cheating, they're not doing it right, okay?
Yeah. And, like, so, I don't mind... Lindor doing what he did. Like, I hate him as a Yankee fan. I think he's scum, but I don't mind it in a sense of like, yeah, you want to fuck it. You want to steal our signs or whatever. That's what they thought was going on. Fine. But you lit a fucking fire and it's just that Chad Green fucking sucks or else you probably would have lost that game. But what I hate is when it turns into this whole Yankees are wrong. Like, even if they were stealing signs, that's on your pitcher, dude. If he's tipping his fucking pitches or if the catcher's too predictable with the signs he's putting down, sorry, bro. It's not like the Yankees have a fucking camera in center field and they're relaying it. This is between the lines, bro.
If they picked up on something between the lines, there's nothing wrong with that. If they got binoculars and they're like,
right.
Yeah.
Then we have a problem there. But
do you agree? That's fine. The Mets want to be pissed about it that they thought they were stealing. That's fine. You want to fucking whistle. But guess what? Giancarlo Stanton's going to come up and fucking hit a two-run homer to tie the game and start a fucking war. It's just that Chad Green sucks and they lost.
What are we going to say as Yankee fans? You know, here's what I'm going to say. I'm sick and fucking tired of this team when they get into these situations they get fucking embarrassed. Okay. This happened with the fucking Rays, the stable at night, the 98 stable or whatever Kevin Cash said. Yep. And the Rays ate their fucking lunch last year. Now Francisco Lindor's with the stupid ass whistling. Then they get into the, you know, and then they get into the thing with the, with Stanton. And then what happens? Lindor swings his dick, third home run of the game. They lose. Okay. So when are the Yankees actually gonna wake the fuck up and stop getting fucking embarrassed like this?
When are they gonna get the last laugh? That's what it comes. Wait, I have a question though. Last year with the Rays, was that the whole Brousseau?
Yes.
That was last year, right?
And that was he
got Chapman, the last laugh. He got that big run.
And then the Altuve shit, you know, he hits that home run the year before. They get the last laugh again. And it's like, you're right. I mean, that's really where this team dies. And that kind of segues into something I just wanted to bring up real quick. You know, with Jeter being inducted and everything, I was watching a highlight video on you know, ESPN posted or some bullshit before his speech. And I'm like, you know, this guy was a fucking winner. And we talked about this, that when you think about Derek Jeter, you think winner. Why? Why is he the one synonymous with winning? And it's because that dude was a leader. He led his team to winning, and the Yankees don't have enough leadership on this team. I'm sorry, Judge has been fucking phenomenal this year. He really has, but I just don't see the leadership quality in him that I need to see. Someone needs to step up and say, look, I'm in charge of this fucking team, and you need to pick your fucking ass up. Stop smiling in the fucking dugout. Chapman, stop smirking when you give up a double down the fucking line. This is not funny. We need to start fucking winning ball games and play like the New York Yankees, because when this team's playing great, that's fine, but that's not when you need leadership. You don't need leadership when things are great. You need leadership when you're fucking in a downward spiral, and we've seen it too many times now with that. When this team starts to fail, there's no looking back, and that's because it's lacking leadership. And Judge really needs to step up. He's starting to on the field now, which was step one. Yeah. Now he needs to take control.
Well, he's calling team meetings. I mean, what else do you want the guy to do? You want him to fucking punch somebody in the face?
No, I just want... Let me ask you a question. I want you to answer seriously. When you saw Derek Jeter play, regardless of how subtle or little you saw leadership, is it the same leadership that you see in Aaron Judge?
It's not apples and apples, though.
No.
Why?
Because I think Jeter had... established himself as a winner very, very early in his career, where it was 96, 98, 99, 2000. When was his rookie year? 95?
How'd he do it?
Well, 96 was his...
How'd he do it?
He had a cup of coffee in 95.
Yeah, a cup of Joe.
How'd he do it?
By getting
hurt all the time?
So now we're back
by playing New York after a win against Boston?
No, he did it by what... You said Judge was starting to do today, and that's...
There you go. Well, that's what I'm saying. Now it's time to grab this team by the fucking balls and say, this is my team. I don't care if they slap a fucking captain title on my chest. I'm the captain of this fucking team now. And that's it. You take fucking control, man.
All right, so we got to trade him then.
You know what it is? It's too much of like... You know, you heard a lot about Girardi upsetting Sanchez and whatever... Like, no, you need to upset some people. Like, Judge needs to walk around like he has the biggest swinging dick in the clubhouse. I'm in charge of this fucking team. I am in charge of this team. This is my team. We're not going to be dicking around in the dugout when we're fucking down 5-0 after losing 6 games in a row. Okay? We're going to fucking go out there and we're going to be the New York Yankees again. And it's time for Judge to do that now, because let me tell you something. Where does he stand right now, do you think, in MVP talks?
Probably great. Maybe third. Yeah.
And regardless, even if he was number two, having the most dominant year of his career, you know he's not going to win it anyway.
Right.
No matter what. So in the context of Judge right now, what we expected out of him, can you say right now that from what we expected from him, he's living up to expectations?
Yeah, this season, I don't think
you can't say no. You can't say no. The guy's been moved around to different positions. He's been great.
He's been on the field.
He's been on the field.
Yeah, he's producing.
Absolutely. And
the way he plays the outfield, too, he's great. So underlooked. He's such a great outfielder, especially a right fielder, his main position.
But you know who kind of scares me a little? Gallo in the outfield a little bit.
No, he should.
He made me hold my breath a couple times today.
He's probably just still getting used to the dimensions and everything like that, but he's a good outfielder.
But look, how many games do they have left? 18, 19?
Something like that.
Okay. 17. So over these next 18, 19 games, it's time for Judge to step up, not just on the field anymore.
Oh, he's hit 3 home runs in the last 2 wins.
No, so listen. I'm saying not just on the field now. He's fucking clearly the leader of this team. And guess what? Guess who's not far behind? Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, yeah.
That motherfucker. Let me tell you something.
18 games left.
Me and Christian talked about this last night. You want to boo him now? You know what you've done to yourself? Yeah. You've proven that you are just a fucking obnoxious idiot.
You don't watch the team, and if you're booing him at this point.
Your booing has lost all credibility at this point. All of it.
And you got to give Stan a lot of credit for being able to handle that and then use that as a precedent for all these new veterans that come in and be like, hey, dude, don't worry about it. It's not you. Because he was quoted as saying, it's not you, it's New York. It's not the player getting booed, it's the performance and what is expected out of you. So the fact that he's been able to clearly show that he's been, treated unfairly and overcome that, that's a great example to set for any veteran that wants to come.
There's
to
two this things team. That people can't get out of their mind with Giancarlo Stanton. It's the at bat against Kimbrel in Game 4 Division Series in 2018.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he missed basically 2 years of time
here. Yeah, it's tough to get over. Well, but
and also, you know what else hurt him was after that Toronto series when he first came to the Yankees was how terrible he was at the home stretch when his first homestand as a Yankee, what he struck out 8 times in 2 games or something.
After he hit 2 home runs in his first game as a Yankee.
Yeah, his first 2 at bats.
He didn't get a hit the first time up. We got a boo. Boo.
Yeah, I mean, it started there and it started there and it never ended.
Mm-hmm. So here's what you got to know about Giancarlo Stanton. The guy's been healthy this year. He's been really good. And last night he proved that he's a fucking Yankee.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't want to hear anything. Don't fucking say a goddamn word that he made the final out of the game because I've made this point several times before. Giancarlo Stanton could literally go 4-for-4 with 4 home runs, and if the Yankees are trailing 5-4 in the 9th inning of the fucking Game 7 of the World Series, and he lines out with the tying run at third base, they'll kill him.
He sucks. How great would it have been, though? How bad were you just wishing he fucking put one over the fence again?
Yeah, but, I mean,
no.
Diaz must have fucking drank like 40 Red Bulls before he came into that game last night.
Well, no, he was fucking shook for a little while. He was shook. And you didn't want – there wasn't anyone else you wanted up in that spot other than Stanton. Judge was out of the game.
He battled. He did. I mean, you're not going to always come through. But, you can't say, oh, only ninth inning is clutch. It's not only ninth inning is clutch because that was a big home run that he hit to get the game to 6-6. And then, you know what? Along the way, he's going to tell Francisco Lindor what he fucking thinks. So that guy earned a ton. I mean, if he didn't earn your respect last night, then he's never going to earn your respect.
And here's the one like silver lining, I guess, the light at the end of the tunnel that I'm seeing right now, that I do have a little hope left that this team can go on one more run to make the postseason. DJ LeMay is starting to step up. And he was really big the last couple wins. Like today, he had a couple big base hits to get innings going or to keep them going. He's got to keep going. Yeah. I mean, he's got to be DJ down the stretch.
Yeah. It could be lining up where if they can somehow just make it into the postseason.
Well, today was big. I mean, today was a huge win.
Yeah, massive.
You can't lose that game.
They can't. No. There's a lot. We say that. Yeah, but how many times have we said they can't lose this game, they lose that game?
Well, but now there's 18 games left, so we're, it's only so many times
I quote-tweeted our boy Sal Licata, because he said, Yanks are done, lifeless at the stadium against the Twins. There's no bigger sign. They're toast. I said, Sal, the Yankees not being able to right the ship against the Twins at home is equivalent to using the guaranteed home run cheat code in Ken Griffey Baseball, but instead he swings through the ball and tears his fucking oblique. It just doesn't happen, and yet it's happening. Until it didn't. until it didn't happen because the Yankees can't lose to the fucking Twins at home. And they didn't.
Poor Twins, man.
And they didn't lose. So that's a huge sign for the Yankees. They have to start learning how to run with momentum. It can't just be on a 13-game tear. They gotta build. They gotta build because the Blue Jays aren't slowing down.
34-11. They were 34-11 through a quarter of the season, and then they just completely fell on their face. Like that, they've had these stretches where it wasn't just a 13 in a row where they played good baseball over a prolonged period of time, and they just instead of when the wave comes down, they don't know how to keep themselves from drowning.
It crashes down.
That's what the problem is. Like this team just can't like, oh well, we played hot for 40 games or whatever it is. You know, we're gonna lose a couple and then they get back to at least playing 500 baseball. No, they lose, what did they lose? 13 out of 15 or something like that?
I think they went 2-11 was the stretch.
They did go, I mean, yeah, that was they did go 2-11 at one point. I think it's the
so I mean here's further. The thing, right? This is why the Yankees have put themselves in such a bad position. Because the Red Sox play the Mariners tonight at 10 o'clock, right? And it's like, oh, let's hope the Mariners win and the Yankees essentially, you know, will have a game up on the Red Sox in the loss column. But guess who's right behind the fucking Yankees now? Seattle. And it's like all these teams are going to be playing each other. And the Toronto Blue Jays, I don't know what the fuck they did. I don't know what happened there, but they're not losing.
That's why over these next 9 games they have to go 8-1. They have to figure out a
like,
way to go
8-1. Are the Rays just kind of packing it in because they know they have the division?
I don't know. I'm not paying that close attention to the game. I mean, it's certainly possible that they might take their foot off the gas a little bit here now. But as we've seen, crazy 10-game swings in a division happen in 3 weeks. You know, it's happened how many times? Over the course of the year so far this year, I've never seen a streak, not even the Yankees, just like this American League in general outside of the Rays streak, like the streakiness of these teams. Before Toronto went on this hot streak, they had faded out. Yeah. They were like 5 or 6 games out.
Yeah.
These teams are all and now look at the A's. Look at the A's, how they fucking fell apart.
That's the Yankees.
Look at the Red Sox. The only team that really didn't, they had a little bit of a lull, but it didn't last long, was the Rays.
Yep.
And then they just fucking turned it on to a different level.
They never let that lead get lower than 4 games. I mean, that's not really, you don't really sweat at that point. So that's why with the Orioles, Rangers, and Indians, I mean, the Yankees have to go 8-1. These are bad teams because you're going to finish the season out against the Blue Jays, Red Sox, and Rays. I mean, you absolutely know that the Rays could have every single thing locked up heading into those last 3 games of the year. And if the Yankees are playing for their fucking lives, Kevin Cash will try to beat them.
Oh, absolutely.
So they're not going to get any easy pass those last 3 games of the year.
Yeah.
So they have to go out there and handle business.
Yeah. And
if they look, let's say they go 8-1 and then they go 4-5, right? That gives them 12 wins. That's borderline of what it would take to get there. 12 wins. They need to win at least 13-14 games out of these last 18.
That's gonna be
tough. They go 13-5, they're getting into the postseason. I think that's like the baseline of what they need to do. If they get to 13-5,
yeah, look,
get in.
I say this all the time. Good teams beat great teams, and great teams know how to beat bad teams. And the Yankees' problem this year has been that they have been able to beat some great teams, and they've just completely played down to these shit teams. I mean, that seems to be the Yankees' biggest issue this year, is that they play down to these teams. And it's like, I'm sorry, I know the Mets have talent, but like, we're talking about a team under 500. You're fucking 16, 17 games over 500. You should be fucking wiping their ass on the fucking floor. Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be. Look, you want to give them a game? Fine. But what was the final record of the two teams?
Two and four.
They went 2-4, right? That can't happen.
Well, the Yankees, the Mets have caught the, I mean.
What's the record against the Orioles?
9-7, I think.
Oh.
6, maybe.
Oh.
The Yankees, the Mets have caught the Yankees at really good times. The Yankees' poorest 2 points of the season were when they played the Mets. So, and yeah. With the Orioles coming up here, it's not, look, they got embarrassed last week at Yankee Stadium, losing 2 out of 3. And you can't even have 3 games where they have to squeak out wins. The Yankees need to beat up on Baltimore. They need to rest this pitching staff and get healthy and beat up on the fucking Orioles. They had winning games 5-3 where you got to be in your bullpen every night is not good enough right now.
Yeah, you need to blow them out.
You know, they just gave a look on Saturday. It was 1-0. They played a doubleheader against Baltimore and Toronto played a doubleheader. It was 1-0 Baltimore going into the 7th inning. They were no hitting Toronto through 6 innings. Toronto scored fucking 11 runs in the 7th inning, and then they put up 22 the next day.
Yeah, absolutely.
You gotta do some shit like that.
Yeah, man. And this team, it's like, you know, when they were on that 13-game winning streak, I never felt so good about a Yankee team. Like they weren't stopping. They were unbeatable. But it's like
all they do is win.
Yeah, no matter what. Okay, but now we're back in this lull, and it's like you start to really break down games and players, and it's like how many games did Chad Green himself blow?
10.
6-10, right? And it's like that's unacceptable because this team's only one game out of a playoff spot now. How many games did Chapman blow on his own?
14.
So it's like you can't miss the playoffs the way the Yankees will miss the playoffs if they do in fact miss it. They were too good for too long in too many stretches to say that this team doesn't deserve to be in the postseason. Because they do. It's been these crazy bullshit games where they're up by 3 runs in the 9th and they can't fucking hold it down. That can't happen. Well, it's not like this team's 10 games out of a spot.
In this recent stretch, they haven't even been. They haven't even been good enough to hold leads into the 9th inning to blow. So.
My mom has a crush on Chapman, by the way.
On Chappy.
Yeah, I said you wouldn't if he was popping a fucking doing a desk pop in your fucking garage with his gun.
Pop pop.
Pop pop.
There's a big story today aside from the Yankees win is Gleyber Torres is no longer the shortstop of the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean part of me's like good move, right? I'm happy about it. But it's like why did it take this long? Why now?
Is he the? I mean, really, the initial thought that went through my mind is he's being scapegoated for them losing that series.
Well, I mean, how could you not scapegoat him for last night? Mm. How could you not?
I mean, you could. Yeah, I mean, but there's other reasons why they lost that game.
Yeah, but
I mean,
you know what? Him. Sometimes you can't go that far. Sometimes it does. Sometimes, if I'm quoting our president here, the buck has to stop somewhere. Okay, and last night it stops with Gleyber Torres. I'm sorry.
I did not have sex with that woman.
I did not have sex with my
friends. Yeah, because then what happened? Then they had a 3-run dinger or something? Yeah,
dude, so you had Clark Schmidt pitching the 1 earned run out of the 4 that were on the board.
Sent down today, so the Yankees are going to make
it. Why not send him down? You know, why not?
Mm-hmm.
End of the day, why was Heal not on this team?
Who?
Why was Luis Heal not on this team?
I don't have an answer for you. I don't know.
Oh, you don't? It's not service time? And
also, roster update, Sal Romano no longer with the Yankees.
Oh, he's a free Christian, agent. You okay with that?
He elected free agency.
It's so thunder.
Bye-bye.
That's what the dog hears. Why is it fucking thundering out?
It's always raining.
Look, if you want to say they're manipulating service time, whatever. I don't know that they don't. There's no logical reason why he shouldn't have been here. We've seen what the other options were. Corey Kluber sucks. Okay.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, you can't like Saturday night. You know, this team is struggling to score runs, struggling to win games.
Yeah.
And they jump up 5-0. He immediately puts three runs back on the board for the Mets, including a fucking hit to the pitcher. You can't, that can't happen.
Ugh.
No, I mean, that's.
Because he's not, his stuff just isn't really that good.
Yeah, but
So when he's not locating the way he was for a good stretch, I mean, dude, he was the best pitcher in baseball for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm still not too worried about Kluber.
He's not going to pitch a big game the rest of the year.
I'm more concerned with the bullpen. This bullpen scares the shit out of me because, you know, I thought about this today.
Corey Kluber, he's a starting pitcher.
I thought about this today. It's like, okay, let's just say the Yankees offense goes on a tear. They're fucking winning games 10-0 in the fourth inning, and they go on this miraculous run and whatever. It's like, but until I can rely on Chad Green again, until I can feel confident with Aroldis Chapman on the mound, until I know that Jonathan Loaisiga can come back healthy and be effective, I don't know where this team thinks they're going.
All right. Well, here's what we need to finish up on. We need to finish this conversation on Gleyber Torres because the Yankees are going to play the rest of this year where they're essentially tied for the second wild card. I believe they have the same amount of losses as Boston, right?
Hopefully Boston loses tonight.
Okay, so the Yankees are going to take two really good defensive players in LeMahieu and Urshela and play them out of position to keep Gleyber Torres from playing fucking shortstop.
Yeah, I mean, that says a lot.
Now, I feel confident enough in even though Urshela really has been lost at the plate and the errors have got to stop with him. I mean, if he's not going to be a glove, he's useless. But
Look at his numbers over his last X amount of games, he's actually not that bad. Glaber's been better. But it's like when you mix in what he's done, you know, the entire year and the last couple years, whatever, mix that in with being a complete liability in the field, you can't do it anymore.
No. I mean, you have to discuss real quick what's his long-term future here? Because we might have touched on it last week. I can't see the Yankees trading him off this season where they're not going to get any value back for him. You know, Ryan said, I asked this guy in a text earlier this week. Ryan's saying that they're going to get like a fucking middle reliever for him. You think Brian Cashman's cutting bait on Gleyber Torres for a fucking middle reliever?
No. I mean, like, there's no trading him.
So he's your second baseman next year?
What it comes down to, I think, is Luke Voit. What they do at first base in the offseason, if they try to move Luke Voit, then you put Gleyber at second base.
I got to find a way to re-sign Anthony Rizzo.
But here's the thing. Unless the Yankees win a World Series, I don't see him coming back. Maybe a pennant. I don't see Rizzo coming back.
Nah, he's not coming back.
No, they got to win a pennant or a World Series, and then
he's not going to come back. That's going to be way too much money, and they're not going to shell out that money for a first baseman.
I'm glad you brought this up real quick. I no longer blame Hal for anything. Because you know what? Why should he spend any more money? Why should he go over the luxury tax? Why?
Work for the Dodgers.
Okay. It didn't work for the fucking Yankees. It doesn't work for the Yankees. Whose fault is that? Let's just assume for a second.
Back to firing Brian Cashman?
Hold on. Let's just assume for a second Brian Cashman didn't pull off miracles and get all these guys at the trade deadline and without paying any money. Let's just assume we were responsible and paid all them. Is it really panning out as of right now? Can you say it would have been a great investment in this moment? No. And it's like, if I'm Hal Steinbrenner right now, I'm looking at the Rays and I'm only looking at the Rays and I'm saying, why should I spend any more money? Clearly, spending more money does not correlate with winning.
This is the argument I've been making for how long.
Yeah,
now,
and you're right. And you're right about it. I'm not blaming Hal Steinbrenner for anything anymore. Until you win, let's say the Yankees came close, they won a pennant and maybe missed out on winning the World Series by a couple games. Then I'd say maybe you go and you break the bank and you get them over the edge. But this team has regressed. And it's like, you're still spending money and you're regressing. I can't deal with that anymore. I would never spend another dime.
You know, fuck A-Rod too.
Yeah, fuck him.
You know,
yeah, what the fuck's he talking about?
Yeah, he's a fucking piece of shit. Seriously.
He's talking about ethics during the game. Him. Yeah. A-Rod's talking about ethics.
Yeah, honestly.
I don't even know what it was. He called something was unethical at some point.
If they were stealing signs.
Yeah, coming from the guy.
Even that, bro. We heard this fucking idiot sit there when they played Boston a week or two before the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And just said what a piece of shit Joey Gallo was, how he doesn't fit the fucking Yankees. And then last night makes the argument that the Yankees should fucking pick Gallo over Judge long term. What are you doing?
Oh, like, my God.
Honestly, dude, you need.
There's certain like thoughts that people bring up. And I sit there and I go, how can anyone in their right mind believe that? How can anyone in their right mind even come close to thinking that Gallo should be the investment long-term over Judge? And I'm not putting down Gallo. I really like Gallo. I know he struggled. But you know what? He does things like today where you see why he's so deadly up there. And he gets on base a lot. So it's like, yeah. I'm not knocking Gallo. I know Gallo a lot of fans
Is Joey Gallo a great baseball player? No. Is he a good ball player that you can use?
I think he's definitely a very good baseball player.
You can hide his deficiencies on a great team. Yeah, I don't have a problem with Joey Gallo being here. But if you want credibility of being an analyst for the two biggest networks that cover baseball and Fox and ESPN, you cannot fucking say, I don't care if the Yankees would have to pay Joey Gallo $1 a fucking year and have to pay Aaron Judge $100 million a year. Okay, you can't tell me, and there's any rational thought that the Yankees would pick Gallo over Judge.
No. Nope.
Aaron Judge is the face of this fucking team.
Can't.
I tell you what, bro, it'll be a cold day in hell before I would be okay with the fucking Yankees letting Aaron Judge walk to give Joey Gallo a long-term deal. Are you fucking kidding me?
No. There's nothing comprehensible about that.
I don't care how old Aaron Judge is. You guys have got to stop with, he's going to be 32. Who gives? You really want to take that risk. You want to take that risk that Aaron Judge is going to leave the Yankees because he's 32 years old? You want to take that risk? I'm not taking that risk. Aaron Judge should never put on another fucking uniform in his career. Now, if the Yankees give him 6 years and at 38, he doesn't think he's done and he wants to go somewhere, that's on Aaron Judge. But through the rest of the prime of his career, he can't go anywhere else. You got to be fucking insane to think that. We're seeing a healthy, motivated Aaron Judge.
Healthy.
Where would the Yankees be with Aaron Judge right now? Where would they be with Aaron Judge right now? Seriously.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. You can also make the argument with Stanton, too. I mean, yeah. when this team has surged. We know
Stan's not going anywhere, though.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, just in general, like in a general argument, you can say the same thing about Stanton. And it's like, Gallo has been good. Yeah, he's had his awful moments, but he's
wondering where the dog was. He's under the table because it's thundering.
Oh, my God. Can you fucking toughen him up a little?
It's not bedtime, so I didn't give him any Xannies.
Can I get to Matt Blake before we wrap up? I just wanted to say one thing about Matt Blake. I wanted to get your takes on it.
I think he's seeing somebody, Chris.
Okay. Okay. Blakey Blue Balls, I call him. So I have a family member who's a scout for the Braves. We all know that.
Al Pacola.
And he said something to me that was...
You don't even get that reference.
No. And he said something to me over the summer that was interesting to me. And he said... The problem with the Yankees and teams like that is that, and why scouts, like old school scouts, are getting kind of pissed off is because old school scouts are like, these are guys who have been around the game forever and they see raw talent and whatever. The Yankees have turned too much.
Joker Jack's one.
The Yankees have turned too much, he told me, to analytic guys who have no idea what baseball's about. All they're good at is numbers. And when you turn to too many guys like that, it fucking doesn't work. Maybe you can have a hybrid, like a mix, but the Yankees have gone too analytically driven.
What does that have to do with Matt Blake?
I want to bring up Matt Blake because I want to ask you guys a question. We know Matt Blake has a strong history of all these like different technologies and really getting guys' mechanics down and everything. But don't you feel like he's lacking? And I'm not knocking Matt Blake because I think he's done a great job. Don't you think he's lacking in the mentality of the pitchers like that are out there? Like, how many times have we seen the same pitchers do the same things over and over, 0-2 counts, fastballs right down the plate? And it's like, okay, maybe mechanics can be brought, you know.
All right, so you want to bring Chad Goldam back to be the pitching coach because he's throwing on the
No. I'm not all knocking right. Matt Blake. I'm just asking Sergio you a simple Mitre, question. Maybe. I'm asking you a simple question that if we can knock Matt Blake for one thing, do we think it's on him that these pitchers keep going out there and in 0-2 counts look like they're down 3-0 in a count?
Can I use two words for you?
Sure.
Larry's
organizational fault. Philosophy. They all buy into whatever the fuck it is that they're doing. This is why they're all here. So you want to single out Matt Blake? Go ahead, single him out. But this is what the Yankees believe in.
Like, how are we not sitting Chad Green down and being like, look, dude.
And punching him in the fucking dick? I don't know.
Your fucking ceiling is so high. You can be so good. But you do these things where it's like 0-2 counts, and then you fucking float a curveball in.
How like, many dude, guys did they walk the other night? Yeah. They were up 0-2, and they fucking walked.
And them. I tweeted this, too. I'm sorry. A pitching coach also has to talk with his catcher once in a while and say, look, Gary, when Wandy Peralta throws 9 balls in a row, call timeout. Walk out to the mound. I know there's a limit now on mound visits, but like Gary doesn't take any. Sometimes you need to slow the game down. And sometimes Matt Blake, and he does a good job with it sometimes, but sometimes he doesn't. And it's like he lets pitchers get a little too deep and make the same mistakes over and over again. And I think that's his one flaw, and I think it's part of the reason why the bullpen has given up games that they shouldn't. Because the mentality of these pitchers sometimes is off.
All right, so we only have a couple minutes here because Chris has got to get out of his kid's room because I don't know why he left his studio to go record in his kid's room.
Because I don't have anywhere to go right now.
So we got to get to this before we wrap up here. Real quick, around them. I feel like we ask this fucking question every 2 weeks, and we have to because of the way this fucking team plays, it changes your mind. Ryan, are the Yankees getting into the postseason this year?
Yeah, they'll get in. They're still, tied in the loss column for that second spot. They have a very easy schedule coming up. And I'm a Yankee fan, so I'm obviously going to root for that to happen, and I think it will happen. Cole coming back, too, plays a big part of it. And then Tyone looking like he's going to come back. If those guys, if it looked like they weren't going to come back, Herman, they have the reinforcements. Yeah, I mean,
we didn't touch on that. Jameson Tyone's hurt. He's on the IL. Boone said it's probably going to be a pain management thing for him, whether he can tough it out or not. So we're going to find out whether or not Jameson Tyone is a bitch or not. And I would hope that after surviving 2 Tommy Johns and fucking cancer, he's got enough testicular fortitude. And that's not a pun because I think he had testicular cancer.
I think he did.
To get on the mound with a little fucking torn tendon. So let's go, Jameson. And that was after he fucking turned his season around. He sucked for how long after being pitchered a month? And he had a really good start last time out. And then he gets fucking hurt. That's just the Yankees in a nutshell right there.
Yeah.
Chris, are the Yankees getting in? Yes or no?
Right now, my hope is dwindling, but I can't sit here and say that they won't just based on how close they've gotten. And I really think they have one more run left in them. I really do. I think they make it by the skin of their teeth.
These next 9 games are going to make or break their entire season. So if they are not in a postseason spot at the end of these 9 games, they won't get there. And I'm going to I got to believe they got to do it. I mean, we came this far. Why say that they won't at this point? So we didn't actually run a poll. I just wanted some quick opinions from the fans. We'll read a couple real quick. And I'm only doing this because I want to say something in correlation to this one dude. We'll just say, or you know, we'll read a couple out here real quick. Medic 968. Yes, call me crazy, but I think they will click just in time. Cole's coming back. Kluber will be getting stronger. Lineup and bullpen will do just enough. At Mountain Gal 456, I think they will make a wild card spot, but if they do make it, I don't know how far they can get with this pitching staff. All the way 08, no, because I'm saying no in hopes the universe fights me and they make it.
Nice.
And then last one here from at Laker 477, and I wanted to just read his because he says, I do see them scratching out a wild card, but in my opinion, I don't see them going far. Hopefully they will prove me wrong. And, you know, his name is Rob, and he's a former NYC firefighter who's currently suffering from cancer. He lived through and lost friends in 9/11, so I wanted to give him a shout out on the show as we just passed the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Still a day that's fresh in a lot of our minds. And, you know, the thing about 9/11 that people don't really realize is that it's not just the 3,000 people that died on that day 20 years ago. It's the lives that it continues to.
Is that thunder?
That was the lightning bolt just came through my blind. Like you saw.
Did you just get electrocuted?
Are you all right?
That was Ryan. Like weird timing, dude.
Ryan, during the 9/11 speech.
Dude.
Just to get back on track here, it's the lives that it continues to take from people that the first responders and people that lived in the area. Yeah. So, you know, without saying anything that is going to be inflammatory in the sense that you're an idiot if you think this. There's no reason to ever downplay what happened on 9/11. Whether or not you feel a certain way about something that happened in recent history, it's never a reason to downplay what happened on 9/11. Okay. And that documentary on Nat Geo, One Day in America, I believe it's called, watch the first fucking episode. Yeah, okay. If you want to be a smart ass and try to downplay anything that happened on that day. And
just watch one episode.
Watch these fucking firemen and police officers and first responders going into these buildings knowing that they're going to die just so they could try to get somebody else out here.
Yeah.
And watch people, these poor human beings with the only decision left in their lives is to whether jump from the top of the World Trade Center or be burned alive.
Yeah.
And then tell me you want to downplay what happened on 9/11.
Yeah. And there's one scene I keep bringing this up since I watched the docuseries, but it's something that I can't get out of my brain. And it was, you know, I've seen people jumping from the buildings. I knew that happened, obviously.
No. And I know what you're going to say.
There's one scene. And if you're really paying attention, you'll catch it, that you see a guy come out of the window, and he actually, for a few seconds, tries to scale the building to, like, somehow slide down. And then he just realizes how impossible that is, and he lets go. And it's like, you know, it's hard enough to see people jump and know that they're choosing an easier death, but it's even more just heartbreaking to see a guy say, I know I need to do this, but I want to at least try to live for my family.
When they're in the, I guess you would call it the lobby of the World Trade Center,
and you hear the
fucking thuds of bodies.
And they have to pretend like it's not what it is. Because these guys were so fucking brave.
To take away from what happened on that day. Never a reason.
Never.
No. So whatever you feel is what you feel. That's your opinion. We can disagree with it all we want to. We're never going to change your fucking mind about something. But never downplay what happened on 9/11.
Never. Never. Because the second you do, I lose all respect for you. I lose all respect for you. End of story.
End of story. So to anybody that's listening to this show, you know, our hearts go out to you if you were affected then, now, anything. I mean, that day will always live with me. So, you know, thank you to if you know anybody or lost anybody, our prayers or thoughts are always with you for, for that day. But, you know, we'll just quickly wrap up here. The Yanks are in Baltimore. Gerrit Cole is coming back tomorrow. It's a game the Yankees have to fucking run away with. Yeah. I'm talking like put up four in the first inning, let Cole settle in, let him get out of there in six innings because just to get his feet back under him because you're up by 10 runs. That's the type of game the Yankees need to have tomorrow night. And we need you to go to patreon.com/NYYST, become a patron of the show. If you are a current patron or a new patron and you pledge $20 a month, all patrons will get a free t-shirt by the time we record the next episode. So please go to patreon.com/NYYST. And if you want to see what t-shirts options are available, go to nyysportstalk.com/shop. They're all there. The new El Capitan collection is there for you. Congratulations to the captain, Derek Jeter, number two, Derek Jeter on his induction into the Hall of Fame.
Number two.
And, you know, 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to this podcast. I have to get out of here before I get electrocuted. Thank you very much for your continued support of the NYYST podcast. We love you. Thank you very much. Episode 252 in the books. SGR.
Oh, Yanks.
Chris, say goodbye.